Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
a listener talks about a musical reckoning. Any good fan of this show will know what that means. All right, it's day two of this little fan mail string we got going here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan, and with me for these episodes, unfortunately not Patrick Foster, he's busy right now, but stepping in capably, we have Matt Windler. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Jim.
So, I think I finally, after all these years that you've been working with us, I finally maybe pronounced your name correctly. It's three syllables in the last name, right? Not two, like I usually go.
Yeah, the first E gets dropped a lot, but you get used to it. It's fine.
Windler.
Yeah.
All right, and, well, believe me, with my last name, people mispronounce it, like, all the time, so I just always am like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Windler, there's worse things out there.
That's right, for sure. Okay, so let's see here. We're going to talk today, we're going to address listener correspondence and talk today about a couple of different episodes that were both from last November, all right? Okay, starting here with, there was some discussion, it was a new music episode from last year, and there was some discussion of the new album from Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, who, by the way, I'm going to see them play live in June. And that, and referencing yesterday's episode, that is, I don't anticipate that being a show that I would leave early. I think I will stay for the whole thing. So,
take me down to the river, lift me high upon the flood, and there will be no turning back. And I must find my love. I must find my love. I must find my love. Well, now meet me in the bottom with the serpents and the vine, and I'ma shout out loud. Will she still be mine? Will she still be mine? Will she still be mine? I shall not rest upon the highway. I will not tire nor despair. I shall conspire. I'll make a deal, I'll dance in hell. I'll sing out loud and loud, yeah. I will open every door, yeah. I'm conversating out in the wild woods with the lion and the dove. And if I should lose my mind, there I must find my love. There I must find my love.
Anyway, we did that episode, and Peter Nordgren wrote in an email, and let me read that here. He says, I'm glad to hear the enthusiasm for the new recordings by Alison Krauss and Robert Plant, but I can't resist pointing this out. Patrick was opining that Krauss and Plant found their folky roots in similar places. Plant in the hill country of northern England, and Krauss in the mountains where she grew up. Plant grew up in a suburb of Birmingham, just a few miles from the Clent Hills and Malvern Hills and Wales, not too far to the west. So that part rings true. Alison Krauss, however, spent her formative years in Champaign, Illinois, a bit too level for mountain country. Her Wikipedia bio says she was a fan of Foreigner, ELO, and Bad Company as a kid. Her mom played the banjo, and after Alison had classical violin lessons, she learned bluegrass fiddling from a Richard Green album. It continues to amaze me that the most successful bluegrass performer of all time comes from the Flatlands. Best wishes, Peter Nordgren in beautiful Cornucopia, Wisconsin. So I used to live in Illinois. For a while, northern part of the state in Rockford, but I am familiar with the downstate, champagne and so on. And he is absolutely correct. That is not at all mountain country. So, you know, but nevertheless, she obviously, you know, got influence, I think, you know, at some point from the music that was from that part of the country. So, you know, we'll let Patrick slide.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good. Is there much to see then if it's just flat? Like, is it a lot of farm country?
A lot of farm. Yeah. I mean, Champaign is a college town. That's where the University of Illinois is.
Yeah.
But yes, it would surrounding campus in that community would be a lot of soybean and corn farms, probably a lot of that stuff. Very, you know, American Midwest. You can probably picture it, right?
Yeah. It sounds a lot like the prairies up here.
Yeah. So when you come, it's funny because I live now in Virginia, Northern Virginia, and you go just a little bit west of here and there are like legit mountains and, you know, the Appalachian, all that range comes up far enough. And they're not big. They're not like Rocky Mountain kind of stuff. But you can see, like, even from where I live, certain vantage points, you can see mountains in the distance. And it's really nice. But no, out in the Midwest, it's pretty flat. My son just accepted admissions to Iowa State University. That's where he's going to go to school. And talk about
congratulations to the boy.
Yeah, yeah, and talk about flat. It is, man. Yeah. That is that. But anyway, okay. Next up. Okay, so let's get into this. There was a series of episodes that I recorded with some old friends of mine back around that same time, back last November, and I kind of just talked about with each friend a different era of my life, sort of the music we listened to. So starting with like high school and then college and then the first few years after college. And we got a few interesting comments here on that. So Bud Verge, a longtime listener of the show, he addressed the high school years in which he said he had similar experiences. And follow this here a little bit. I think there was one point where I was talking about how I got into the band Squeeze. And he says, in much the same way a person gets handed a copy of Bob Marley's Legend during college orientation, you get a copy of Squeeze's singles, 45s and under, on cassette on the first day of 10th grade. That was, I guess, just a reference to the fact that, like, back then, back in the 80s, those were, like, two records that just everybody seemed to have for some reason. Not sure why, but great stuff.
I bought a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes and a case. I said to my reflection, let's get out of this place. Past the church and the steeple, the laundry on the hill, billboards and the buildings, memories of it still keep calling.
And Squeeze, I think, was one of those bands of the 80s that, like, got a lot of kids like me kind of into, it was sort of a gateway into, like, sort of new wave and alternative kind of stuff because it didn't feel that far out there. But everybody really, you know, sort of clung, was attracted to that sound. So it was cool. Anyway, all right. Now, let me ask you, did you have, like, if you look back at your high school years, was there, like, just, like, one record that stands out that sort of, like, you had, your friends had, everybody was really into?
It wasn't one record, but it was one artist that I think we all shared, which was Sam Roberts.
Yeah.
So he was a touching point for a lot of us, and we were able to see him a bunch because he would come pretty much every year for Blues Fest in Ottawa. So we would try and make sure we caught him there every summer.
That's great. And we've, you know, played his stuff from time to time on the podcast, people have mentioned Sam Roberts, but for whatever reason, he hasn't really taken off much here in the U.S. I don't know why.
No, classic story of, you know, a big Canadian artist that just can't quite make it in. I think he's made a bit of a dent in Michigan, just because he has a song called Detroit 67. And like a couple people around the border have definitely picked up on him. Like Tim Hoffman's a big fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, just another Canadian hidden gem for people to discover on their own, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, now moving into my college years, we got a Facebook comment here from Enrique Cruz, because I was talking a lot about how REM was so important to me when I was in college, and he says, my entry point to REM was the album Reckoning. I thought, who are these guys hiding behind drapes in their videos? I had seen them on Letterman, but I couldn't find Murmur over here at the time, over here meaning Enrique, I believe, is in Puerto Rico. Couldn't find Murmur over here at the time. Plus, they were not played on the radio at all. After I heard Reckoning, Quiet Riot became so boring to me. I vividly remember that feeling. So another great experience where, like, you know, you discover a band and then sort of like it just completely changes your view. What have I been listening to all these years, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's... Like you said, Squeeze was like a stepping stone to this larger world, and I think REM was that for a lot of people too. Well, maybe not even a stepping stone, just like doors being burst open into a right. Much wider, vibrant world.
Totally, totally. And then Kevin Clement, he had a Facebook comment here. So he's talking about his college years. It says were 92 to 97, and this is interesting. He said we got to see the Pixies, Blind Melon, The Flaming Lips, and others. The venues were Tipitina's in New Orleans, the Varsity or Fred's in Baton Rouge, and Grant Street Dance Hall in Lafayette. Plus, the festivals then were kicking into high gear. We got to go to Houston, Dallas, or Atlanta for those. They were well worth it. We didn't have to rent a van. We just borrowed my buddy Matt's mom's van. Now, this is the interesting part, Matt, because... 6 to 8 guys sleeping in there, depending on the fest, is something I'd rather forget, says Kevin. So I had to read the comment just for that part. So they go to the festival, 6 to 8 guys sleeping in a van. How does that sound?
That does not sound pleasant.
I just can't even think like how did like that many people fit sleeping. Right. But anyway, you do what you got to do. Right. And back you know, people want to go to the festival, see the music, you know, you just deal with it. You just make it happen.
The college kids are built different. They're ready to endure.
That's right. All right. So there we go. That's the topics for today. And tomorrow we'll get to we have like 3 topics with the fan mail for tomorrow. So we'll do that. I also want to mention, since we had Kevin Clement, that Kevin is one of the DJs now on our new Rockin' the Suburbs radio. So Several of the podcast listeners have joined forces and started DJing shows on this new streaming radio station that we have. And that you can find at suburbsradio.com, or we're on a couple of apps that you can get on your phone, and then you can find us there, and might make streaming a little bit easier mobily. One is called Triode, and the other one has a name that I'm not remembering right now, but we'll get that information to you all. And anyway, it's 24/7 streaming radio, full songs, DJs playing stuff that they find interesting, and we hope you will too. So please check that out. All right. One of the shows, by the way, is called North of the Border, Matt.
Yeah, with J.L. Chasinski.
Yeah, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that. Yeah.
I haven't yet, but I know he's coming from the suburbs of the Hammer, I think, Hamilton. So.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
He recently moved from Toronto to Hamilton area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I'm looking forward to hearing his program.
It's great. Okay, so check that out, and stick with us here on the podcast again tomorrow for more fan mail with me and Matt. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Intern Matt.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Did you never call? Waiting for your calls. Rivers of suggestion driving me away. The trees will bend. The cities wash away. The city on the river. There's a girl without a dream. I'm sorry.
I don't know how cold it gets at night around there, but have a choice but to snuggle up, I think.
I don't know. Well, down in Louisiana and so on, it might be okay, but yeah.